you were on his mind as he was being whipped. You were on his mind as he hung on a cross, as he drug his cross up Calvary's hill. You were on his mind, but is he on yours? Tonight I want to teach on You Are Lavishly Loved. And that's what the songs were all about tonight. So let you know about what a wonderful Jesus we have, we serve. Father, I thank You for tonight. I thank You for Your blessings. I thank You for people that came out to sit in Your presence and eat from Your table, Lord. And Father, move among us. Do what You do best. And that's change lives. And Father, I thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I said when I stood up, I can't believe that people still sit in the house of God and don't know that Jesus loves them. As I was sitting there tonight in one of the songs, God brought something back to my remembrance. When I was first born again and I was at a prayer meeting, a young man came up to me and was crying, and he said, do you know how much Jesus loves you? No, he said, do you know that Jesus loves you? Of course I do. He says, no, you don't. You do not understand the depths of Jesus' love for you. And he was really weeping hysterically. And he just laid his head on my shoulder and he said, I wish Jesus would love me as much as he loves you. He said, you say and you think you know how much Jesus loved you, but in the years to come, you're going to know how much he truly does love you and how true he was. As the years went on, and as I had to go through the things I went through, and Jesus was with me, and he loved me and brought them through them, I finally realized how much he really does love me. So I'm not criticizing you tonight if you don't know how much he really does love you, because I was there at one point, but I want you to know Jesus does love you. And if you don't know that right now, you're going to find that out sometime along the way. How much he really does love you. 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Lavish is an incredibly rich word. It means over the top, more than you could imagine. No matter how great we are, we do not naturally deserve to be called sons and daughters of God. Even if we achieved academic honors in school, the highest promotions in our jobs, and every other qualification this world could possibly offer, we would never merit such a gift. Only His free and lavish love gives us the most beautiful title of all. Not doctor, not lawyer, not apostle, but son or daughter or friend. We are the family God went out and found. He has so determined to call us sons and daughters that he suffered on a cross and died. Jesus and his Father are one. Whatever the Father does, Jesus does. And see, whatever we see Jesus do, we're supposed to do. Or whatever we read that Jesus did, we're supposed to do. But we don't. Whatever the Father does, Jesus does. John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgments to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. They act together, and the cross expresses the unity of their love for us. Jesus died so we could be brothers and sisters to one another. Before that, we could not be one family. Heidi Baker states, I have been beaten up, shot at, and lied about. People even tried to strangle me. I'm not afraid. To this day, I can walk boldly into gangs of armed thugs and tell them to stop in the name of Jesus. I expect them to drop their knives. Generally, they turn surprisingly nice. Sometimes they look at me and apologize. Where did this confidence come from? It came from knowing the Father loves me. Because I truly know that I am loved, I am not afraid. If you know the story about Heidi Baker, she's a powerful woman of God. Truly does love her Father. You are a beloved child of God. God wants your ministry to flow from the realization that you are a beloved child of God. You won't have a ministry unless it flows from that. In that place, you don't worry too much about how people see you. You don't worry too much about whether they are nice or mean. You don't even worry about whether they love you or hate you. You don't worry because you're simply going to love him and love them. This comes from knowing who he is and what he thinks of you. This is what it means to grasp the fact that you are a child of God. But what if we make messy mistakes? What if it turns out we are still flawed people who can be difficult to get along with? Will he keep on loving us then? Of course he will. That doesn't faze him. What if God's comment towards us when we mess up? What is God's comment toward us when we mess up? My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. I once read a story where a couple took in a very troubled little girl, and I've told you the story before. She broke everything in sight. She cussed. She threw her food at the couple. She was very mean and cruel. In other words, she wasn't nice at all. Excuse me. But all the people did was love her. They never spanked at her. They never yelled at her. They simply loved on her. After 1 year, the little girl came to them and said, "You really do love me, don't you?" And from that point on, she was a perfect little girl. When we have a troubled child, we yell at them, we spank them, we tell them that they're not lovable, we tell them all kinds of things. But these people had the love of God in them, and they did what they were supposed to do. And in 1 year, they had a perfect little girl. The spirit of adoption. See, this little girl had been in other homes where they treated her very badly. So she expected everybody to treat her badly. The spirit of adoption. Their joy was seeing her finally come home to their father's house and step into the spirit of adoption. She finally found out who she was. She is a daughter. She finally realized that the parents and God loved her. No matter how many tantrums she threw, no matter how bad she was, no matter how she cussed, stole, or whatever, she realized she is loved because of the incredible grace of God that comes down to call each of us sons and daughters. I want you to get that in your spirit tonight and realize like she did, she realized she was loved because of the incredible grace of God that comes down to call each of us sons and daughters. None of us deserve it. We simply have it. Your Heavenly Father loves you the same way. He wants you no matter what you do or how you fail. This is the love he spoke over us when he sent his Son. It is what Jesus poured out out of the cross. It is a thing that the church must demonstrate to the world. This is a kind of lavish love can never die. I want to read that statement again. Your Heavenly Father loves you the same way. He wants you no matter what you do or how you fail. This is the love he spoke over us when he sent his Son. It is what Jesus poured out of the cross. It is the thing that church must demonstrate to the world. It is a thing the church must demonstrate to the world. This kind of lavish love can never die. It might get a little weak, but it can never die. You are royalty. Because of this love, we have become children of God. Even if we do not yet believe it, this is what we truly are. Doesn't matter if you believe or not, the world says we are. I mean, the Word does. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Right now, in this house of God, God has children who will not believe they are truly loved. You keep allowing the enemy to speak negative things into your mind. You keep allowing the enemy to tell you, look, that one doesn't love me anymore, this one's doing this to me, and that one's doing that to me. You need to stop. You are lavishly loved, not only by the Father, but by your brothers and your sisters. Isn't that what God commands us to do, love one another? I don't know about you, but I don't do it because I'm commanded to. I do it because Jesus is in me, and that's his nature. Amen? If the Holy Spirit ever touches people in such a way that they realize they are sons or daughters instantly, we ought to celebrate it as a mighty miracle, because sometimes it takes years for God's children to realize how much they are loved by their Heavenly Father. I want to make that statement again, because our children, our own children in our homes, don't realize that because of the way we treat them. If the Holy Spirit ever touches people in such a way that they realize they are sons or daughters instantly, we ought to celebrate it as a mighty miracle, because sometimes it takes years for God's children to realize how much they are loved by their Heavenly Father. You are a son or daughter right now, tonight. You are a son or a daughter right now, tonight. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." All through my word, it tells me that I'm a daughter of God. It tells me that I am loved by the Father. It tells me he will never leave me nor forsake me. Your real identity is in this truth. It doesn't matter what people do or do not call you. It doesn't matter where you do or do not sit. You are a son and you are a daughter. To be a son or daughter of God always means you are royalty. I mean, I go around and say, I'm the king's kid, so I deserve the best, right? I'm royalty because I'm a daughter of the Most High God. I'm a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you a son? Then you deserve the very best too. This is the greatest of privileges, but it is also an awesome responsibility. I said, to be a son or daughter of God always means you are royalty. This is the greatest of privileges, but it is also an awesome responsibility. If you are truly thankful to God and want to please him with all your heart, you must do more than just recognize your own authority. You must use it. He asks you to give love as freely as you have received it, not just to those who deserve it, but also to everyone he puts in front of you. He asks you to give love as freely as you have received it, not just to those who deserve it, but also to everyone he puts in front of you. Matthew 10:8 says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." See, there's a little bit of a thing there. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God is raising up a balanced people, submissive as a lamb and bold as a lion, ones whose very foundation is love. Luke 10:3, God is saying, "Go. I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves." Amos 3:8 says, "The lion has roared, who will not fear?" God is raising up a people with authority and power, a people who are bold as a lion but as gentle as a lamb. Are you listening to that? God is raising up a people with authority and power, a people who are bold as a lion but also gentle as a lamb. A people who shall not fear to stand up against sin or anyone opposed to his kingdom. A people who will proclaim the truth regardless of any resistance or retaliation. A people who will proclaim the truth regardless of any resistance or retaliation. These are God's faithful ones. A people who have been living in the wilderness as a lamb, learning to be dependent upon God. Without that dependence, self arises and tries to rule. These are God's faithful ones, a people who have been living in the wilderness, behind the scenes, as a lamb, learning to be dependent upon God. Without that dependence, self rises and tries to rule. Learning to suffer patiently as the unthreatening lamb, submitted to God so that you will be loving, kind, and gentle, serving others. Maybe that's why you're still in your wilderness. You still have not learned to be loving, kind, and gentle, serving others. Maybe you haven't learned to be totally and completely submitted to God. I don't know why you're still in a wilderness. Only you and God knows. And if you don't know, then ask God why you're there. This group of people have welcomed the Holy Spirit's continued work in them. For they know that every thought, every word, and every action must be pure and holy, spotless and clean. This group of people have welcomed the Holy Spirit's continued work in them. For, you know, they're not kicking against the goads. They're saying, all right, God, whatever needs to be taken out, you take it out. For they know that every thought, every word, and every action must be pure and holy, spotless and clean. They have learned, much as they grazed where their good shepherd Jesus led them. Because of this, the character of Jesus will be exhibited in their lives. They will be innocent as a lamb, filled with gentleness and meekness, because they know that this can break down many who are filled with hatred and anger. They will be innocent as a lamb, filled with gentleness and meekness, because they know that this can break down many who are filled with hatred and anger. Troubles are rapidly coming upon this world, but all will think Satan has won. Yet out of that moment, the fierce and mighty lion arises, roaring with authority. Isn't that what God told us? When the gross darkness covers the land, I'm going to come. People with power, but instead of attacking with a heart that seeks to kill, tear apart, and to destroy, they will have the gentle heart of the lamb, but also the heart of a lion, because this people's greatest asset is love, which is courage. People with power, but instead of attacking with a heart that seeks to kill, tear apart, and to destroy, they will have the gentle heart of the lamb, but also the heart of a lion, because this people's greatest asset is love, which is courage. When I watch somebody severely attack people, you don't have the love of God in you, because God doesn't do that. God quietly and gently speaks. He does not assert his authority. He does not demean anybody. He's not really aggressive. We must always remember that God never leaves his world without a remnant. Those who can truly discern between good and evil, this is what the remnant are. There are people who can discern between good and evil, a people who have learned to walk by faith, a people who will not be fooled by the counterfeit. And whether you know it or not, this dispensation, we are the remnant. We are these people that I've been talking about here. All right, those who can, this is the remnant, are those who can truly discern between good and evil. Brother Alan and I were talking tonight when somebody walks up to us and they have evil in them, we get angry. You know, the God in us gets angry at the sin in that person carries with them. So those who can truly discern between good and evil, a people who have learned to walk by faith, a people who will not be fooled by the counterfeit. And the time has come for God's lions, those who he has been preparing and teaching during their harsh wilderness years. That's why you've been in your wilderness. He's been trying to teach you something. And they will do nothing of themselves, but only as God has taught them. If you're truly a child of God, humble and submissive, you will quit your ranting and your raging against people. Because God doesn't do that. You will seek God's face and he will give you instruction. He doesn't tell you to be hateful and ignorant to people. He doesn't tell you that. One point when I was going through my wilderness experience, I knew I crossed the line and went from love into hate, because I acted like a hateful, worldly person. And I didn't like that. And I cried out to God and cried out to God and cried out to God. And finally, he set me free from that. See, I know when I'm not walking in the Spirit and doing the things God wants me to do, and I don't pretend I don't know it. I seek God's face for deliverance from it. I don't stick my head in the sand and say, I deserve to do what I did. No, I don't. We don't deserve to rant and rail against anybody. That's not what God has called us to do. The enemy has sought to keep God's faithful ones sidetracked. That is true. At this crucial point in time, let me read that again. The enemy has sought to keep God's faithful ones sidetracked at this crucial point in time in hopes that he can stop them from reaching God's destiny for them. But God will stop every arrow aimed at your heart. He will. God's faithful ones, those still currently in preparation, shall rise and shine, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. God gave us Isaiah 60 a couple years ago, and that was our scripture to stand on. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. If you're a hateful, backbiting person, the glory of God will not stay on you. It won't even touch you. But if you're a person of God, walking in the Spirit, full of the love of God, very, very forgiving, very, very long-suffering, the glory of God will rest upon you. And you have to be so full of love that you wonder sometimes, where'd that love come from? And you know it's because Jesus lives inside of you. Because Jesus is nothing but love. Only love can come out of a child of God. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. You know, how are the Gentiles going to come to your light if you're ignorant as they are? If they hear you ranting and railing against somebody, if they hear you accusing somebody else, they don't want that. They already have that. The world is looking for love. That's why you have all the sex junk. They're looking for love, and that's lust. And the only place you're going to find love is in Jesus, because he's the only one who can fill that void in your heart. And how he does that is you have to have Jesus in you. His people, his remnant, have to have Jesus in them so then it can pour out onto the people. Amen. This is a prophecy, he said. Most would say that they would rather be a noble lion than a submissive lamb. But I am bringing forth a balanced, authoritative people. Freedom fighters, all revolutionaries, giving up everything in order to set this captives free. Some think you are odd, singular in purpose, and straight-laced. Some call you heretics because you do not fit their mold. But I say unto you that you are a people of power with balance, so that power will not be abused, misused, or taken for granted. A people who shall stand in truth, led by God's Spirit. A balanced people with the heart, the authority, and the power of the lion, but with the gentleness of the lamb. A balance of the lion and the lamb, one and the same, willingly brought to the slaughter and clothed with power from on high. I don't see that too much in the body of Christ. But that is what God is trying to raise up. A well-balanced people. I've always said God's people are not balanced. They either go too far to the right or too far to the left. They never find that middle ground that God wants us to be in. If you go too far to the right or too far to the left, God can't use you. You have to be balanced. You have to have wisdom and discernment from God in order to lead people. And you have to get out of self-deception. You have to get out of religion. You have to get out of the fact that you're always being abused or misunderstood or used or whatever you call it. You have to get out of that because God can't use you in that area. Are you listening here tonight? God is moving swiftly. We are not to fear, because God is bringing all that he has promised both to you and to the world. Come on. God, we are not to fear because God is bringing all that he has promised both to you and to the world. And the world shall see that God has raised up a balanced people, submissive as a lamb and bold as a lion. I want you to ask yourself this tonight. Are you a balanced person? Are you submissive? And are you bold at the same time? Come on. For the agape love of the Most High God, that's what God's raising up. For the love of the agape love of the Most High God. There's not one of you that's sitting in this church can ever say that you don't know about the love of God, because I preach it too often. God has me preach it over and over and over again. And I said, God, why do I keep preaching the love of God? It's because they still don't have the love of God in them. They're still not walking with the love that I ask them to walk in. I'm hearing them say, you walk in a pretend love. You pretend to love people. You pretend to do this and that and the other. And see, that's not God. If you're a loving person, it's going to show on the outside. It's not going to stay on the inside. It's going to show on the outside. And how does it show? It shows by your actions. It shows by the way you talk and how you treat other people. I get mad as a hornet at people, but I don't rant and rail against them. I seek God's face and ask God, how do I handle this situation? And God will say, be still. Be still. God tells me so much about you people, and I never come to you with it. Why? He just wants me to know where you're really at, and he wants me to leave it in his hands so he can take care of it. Are you listening here? Well, somebody came and talked to you. Yeah, they did. It was God. It was God. So, you know, evidently you don't have that walk, because you wouldn't even say that to me. See, a gossiper will go around and tell things. They'll spread it. But God, when he speaks to you, he tells it to you and says, now be still. That means shut up. Amen. Don't say a thing about it. Just be still. I've informed you of what's going on around about you. Now you be still until I tell you that I want you to do something. If he never tells me to do anything, then I never do nothing. I just be still. How many of you know if you get out there in your flesh, you don't be still and get out there in your flesh, you're going to destroy things. But if you allow God to do it, everything turns out perfect. It is the love of Christ in us that will win the loss to Christ. It is the love of Christ in us that will win the loss to Christ. Why do you feel like you have to have the last word? Jesus didn't. What did he say? That one guy said, you said it. Why do you have to feel, you know why you have to have the last word? Because you don't have the love of God in you the way you ought. You don't know that Jesus loves you the way he really does, or you wouldn't have to have the last word in anything. Why do you have to have everybody honor you as a leader? Because you're insecure. Why do you have to have a title before your name? Because you're insecure. You want to be recognized. You just have to think of all these things. Just get before a mirror and look at yourself and be honest with yourself. Now, this is who I really am, and I don't like what I say. How many of you have done it? I've done that. When I know that I'm not right with God, I'll get a mirror and say, I don't like you. And you're not going to abide in this temple. Because I'm a child of the Most High God, and devil, you're leaving. You know, quit acting out the devil's plan. Take the plan of God in your hand. And let God lead, guide, and direct you. Let your foundation be love. If you're not a loving child of God, then you need to get before God until you can get that love straightened out. There's many, many times in my life I've had every right in the world to blast somebody. But I don't, because God says, be still. I think that's the only thing he knows to say to me is be still. I think he has a little record. He just pushes a button and says, be still. I've learned to be still. I've learned to be quiet. And I've learned that when I do open my mouth and he says, be still, it is not nice what comes out. It's really ugly. And he does not want that ugly to come out. And that's why he says, be still, because he knows you have that ugly in you. And it's lying in there dormant. It's just waiting for you to open your mouth whenever you shouldn't. And then it's going to come out. Destroy somebody's life, maybe. Come on. I've watched love bring people from the depths of hell right on it, into heaven. I've seen love turn people around when they themselves knew that they were not lovable. They didn't deserve any love at all. But I've seen when God said to me, I want you to love them. Unconditionally love them. I've seen God turn people around. I've seen all the hurt, all the hate, and all the bitterness, and all the woundedness. I've seen it all leave. Because God said, love them. Even when they were railing against me, God said, you love them. You take them in your arms, and you hug them, and you tell them how much you love them. Love turns the tide. Hate makes a storm grow stronger. Are you a love child? Or do you have hate in your system? If you have hate, then you need to get that out. And you need to become the love child that God's called you to be. A love vessel, a love sponge, whatever you want to call it. I used to always say, I'm a love sponge. And wherever I go, just the love oozes out onto people. And whenever I was going through my dark time, it sure wasn't a love sponge. It had acid in it. I even had somebody that loves me very dearly. She said, Pastor Barbara, what's going on in your life? Because you're hurting somewhere because you're not oozing out love like you used to. I said, I know, and I'm coming to grips with it. I'm working on it. You just pray for me and God will see me through it. And God did, and he always will. So I'm not saying that that you won't slip every now and then. I hope we don't ever slip every now and then. But I'm not saying that you won't. But I'm saying that whenever you do, please repent. Please get on your face before the Father and get your love walk together again. What God wants to do to you tonight is he wants to pour love into you like he's never poured love into you before. He wants you to understand without a shadow of a doubt that you're his son and you're his daughter and that he loves you from the very depths of his being. And you know, we all know that he loves you even when you go to hell. We know that he walks the corridors of hell every day and he weeps over you, but he says it's too late. So what he wants you to do tonight, he wants you to get it together tonight. Because just like that young man said, that man that was playing the piano, he did not know he was going to die sitting there playing that piano that night. But in the middle of the song, he went on to be with the Father. We never know when we're going to draw our last breath. And God told me one time, there's some people that they are going to determine whether they go to heaven or hell because they know right from wrong. And they could be doing wrong and go to hell. I hope that's not one of you sitting in here tonight. I hope that you've yielded your heart over to God 100% and you're living for him 100% and you're doing everything he's calling you to do. But maybe you can say, honestly say to yourself, my love walk just isn't quite there yet. I still need more of your love poured into me, Lord. There's many times when I was going through my dark time that I would cry, God, I can't love them. You're going to have to love them through me. And he would place love in me, and he would love that person through me until I could love them. Because let's face it, we're always going to meet unlovable people. We're always going to have people around us who are going to hurt us and abuse us. But that doesn't mean we stoop to their level. That means we just go higher with God and get more of the love of Christ in us. Amen. The altar's open. God wants to anoint you from on high with his love. He wants to fill your vessels full of his power and his glory. He doesn't want you to leave here tonight the same way you came, hurt, wounded, and abused. He wants you here, leave here tonight made whole. And as you allow his love to pour over you, it's going to make you whole. And that love is just going to just drown out all the junk that's in you. Come and set it to Father's feet tonight. Set at his feet. Allow him to pour his love into you. Jesus. Might just lift our arms in total surrender to the Father and say, Father, here I am. I'm emptying myself out to you. Just fill me with your love and your grace. For your grace surely is sufficient. God is saying, when you get up off this floor tonight, you won't have one trace of hate within your body if you're totally and completely yielding yourself over to him tonight. There's some of you in here tonight, you have an awful lot of unforgiveness in your heart, and it's boiling out over and hurting other people. Give that unforgiveness to God tonight. Some of you are lukewarm. He wants that lukewarmness tonight. One time God told me every time we sin, we crucify his son all over again. How many times have you crucified his son? God wants you to stop. Make a determination in your heart tonight. You're going to stop doing that. I have already moved heaven and earth for each one of you. I've already sent my son to the cross for each one of you. I've given you my Holy Spirit. I've given you my word. I've given you my comfort. I've given you my peace many, many times when you're in the dark nights of your soul. But I say unto you this night, it is time to lay down the old man. It's time you give up that old man and come forward cleansed. It is time because you do not know when your time is going to be up. The enemy vies for your life every day. The enemy places temptation in front of your feet every day. The enemy is constantly placing things before your eyes to draw you away from my anointing and my presence. But tonight I am calling you. I am wooing you, and I'm asking you to let the old man go so that the new man can emerge. I'm asking you to lay aside all the sins that so easily beset you. I am asking you to give up your hold on your life. It has taken you nowhere but straight into the darkest pit in hell. Relinquish that hold that you have upon your life. Place yourself in my hands and give me control. Many times I've been calling you to let go of the old and to come into the new, but still to this night you still hold on. And I say to you, I'm not going to call you again. I'm not going to woo you again. I will leave you to your own devices. I have to move on now. There's a world out there that's lost and dying, and I need to work with them. I need to bring them to the full knowledge of who my son Jesus is. I cannot use a sin-tainted vessel. I need a vessel that's been purged and holy and pure. And I've been trying to get that through your minds constantly, but still some reject it. But I am calling you tonight for the last time. Come away, my beloved, into my arms, my everlasting arms. Do not go astray again. Do not look to the left nor to the right, but keep your eyes straight ahead and stare into my eyes. Follow me, and I will lead you by the still waters. I will be your sufficiency. I will be your all in all. But it's your choice. But I promise you, I'm not coming this way again.